Guide Tour Guides. I'm Carrie.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Bree.
Today we are taking you on a tour of Montreal. Never been to Canada.
I've never been to Canada either, and I grew up very close to Canada.
I want
to
go.
I would love to go.
So bad. There's a trans-Canadian railway.
Oh my gosh.
And I want to go so bad.
That's amazing. I love trains.
It's like $4,000, but like, I want to go so bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's not worse than a cruise or something.
Yeah. I mean, my honeymoon's that, so.
Yeah.
That's also my honeymoon.
That's amazing, though. I kind of want to, like, that would be so fun.
Yeah, I've never been to Canada. I had a friend in college who was, actually, she may have been from Montreal. I know she's from Canada.
We have one of Annie's best friends. He's from Montreal. Look at the cat.
Yeah. There's a cat peeking up from under the door. Oh, like, sitting right next to it. She said, wants to come in.
But she cannot, because we are our first recording in our official podcast/office.
Yay!
We need butt pillows.
We do. Yep. We're going to order floor pillows. And, oh, my bread is done. Guys, I got a bread maker from Carrie's parents for my wedding. And I've made bread every day, and I have a problem. But for our little podcast room, I did get true crime coasters.
And I'm using two of them.
Mine says introverted but willing to discuss true crime.
Mine says true crime, glass of wine, in bed by 9.
And my two, because I'm bougie like that, say the husband totally did it, which, yeah.
Oh, sure.
And true crime and wine, which, fitting.
Yeah. And then I got a little picture of our podcast logo that I'm going to hang up.
Cute.
You want from the wedding.
Yeah, so we'll have like a whole little area, and then
what cute one from the wedding?
The three of us.
The three of us.
I haven't seen that one.
Me neither, but I'm just assuming it's cute.
Because
we're cute.
We're cute.
Yeah, so now we have three mics again. We have a recording space. I don't have to hold anything. It's just like in front of my face.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Got our little like setups here.
I know.
Just wall myself off in the corner here.
Yeah, but I actually have considered grad school at Columbia, in Montreal. And my case has to do with that.
Ooh. I looked, actually, when I was still undergrad, I looked in Montreal and Toronto.
Yep, so I there's a drama therapy program there that is really awesome that I love. And there's not many in America. There's only like 4 or 5. Accredited universities in America for drama therapy PhDs. Yeah. So after I got my master's, that's kind of what I would like to do.
Yeah.
Step one, become a famous author/podcaster. Step two,
drama therapy,
eventually, because I love teaching. Mm-hmm. But COVID teaching is dumb, so yeah. I've been thinking about it a lot.
COVID teaching is literally the worst.
And it's no one's fault, but it's just unfortunate. It's just terrible. Yeah. For everyone involved.
That's why we drink.
That is. So, why don't you tell us what we're drinking, Carrie?
Oh, we got a doozy today.
Fuck yeah.
I can't feel my tongue.
It is called the Montreal.
Fitting.
Yes. And it's a very young cocktail. It was created in 2017 by 15 of the city's bartenders.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
it is a baby.
So there's no history about it.
Yeah.
But it was created to celebrate the city's 375th anniversary. Bree just took a sip.
No, Catherine did, and I wish I'd gotten a picture of her fucking face because it was amazing, and I 100% want to put it on the Insta.
You'll see why she's making a face when she drinks it, because we'll get to the ingredients.
I'm in my nightgown, Bree. You can't put a picture. I'm an elderly woman.
You have dresses. Admittedly, you have dresses that look like your nightgown. Shut up.
Yeah, Colin hung this up because he thought it was one of my dresses.
I probably would too.
It's comfy. Who cares?
It looks like one of my old Navy dresses. One of my many old Navy
dresses. Exactly. It's what it looks like, but this is,
Yeah. Anyway, so
it tastes like throwing up.
It's not that bad. Anyway.
It's just so bitter.
It just tastes like Dayquil. It's fine.
I didn't create it.
We're not judging you.
We're not judging you. It's a beautiful color. It'll get you drunk.
Well, it also, it needs ice, and we've just been sitting here not drinking it for the past hour.
You said it was a sipping drink.
It still needs ice.
Well, I've sipped away the
alcohol. It's yeah.
Clear.
Okay, anyway, so it was created to celebrate the city's 375th anniversary, and it was created with the quote, hope to not only inspire our people of our great city, but those of other communities across the globe to give life and embrace the Montreal cocktail as a modern day classic. This inspiring drink is all alcohol.
All alcohol.
So be ready.
Yeah.
The drink is fresh, bright, and bittersweet. There's a lot of herbiness in it, but she's bitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that description makes sense.
Yeah. Like me. So one thing I found really interesting was that each of the alcohols are sourced from a different area. And so I'll mention those as we go through it.
That's how the 15 bartenders came together. Like, here's my contribution.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's only four, not 15.
They can be from some of the same areas, Carrie. They could have split it up semi-equally.
How many provinces are in Canada? 9? 12?
I don't know.
I did a project.
I did the history section, I don't remember.
So. Oh. I did a project in like elementary school about the gold rush. Yeah. And my mom bought me a gold leaf pen to like do my project, like the Canadian gold rush.
Uh-huh.
And I literally had that pen till I went to college. That gold leaf pen, and I used it for all my fancy projects. I remember it distinctly because like, growing up, we didn't have money for, like, special stuff like that when I was really little. And I was like, whoa, this project is going to be incredible. And it was.
So the ingredients in this are one part London dry gin. Mm. London. One part Canadian rye whiskey. Canada.
God save the queen. They both say it. Count.
Yeah. One part aperitivo from Italy. And then one part gentian liqueur. From France, and it's made from the gentian root, and it's really like super bitter. And in France, they drink it over ice with lemon.
We're gonna talk about three of those four in my history section in relation to the flag.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's why.
I also couldn't find like true gentian liqueur, so I found a really close cousin, but it's still French. So.
Dead kids and cousins.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I know. One of my old bosses used to say that when I worked at the shoe store, and she's like, we want them close, like kissing cousins. And I was like, that's appalling. Why is that a thing? Why is that
Alabama?
A fucking phrase? I know. But you.
We just lost all of our Alabama listeners.
Do we have any Alabama listeners?
I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says U.S. It says by country, not by state.
Mm.
Okay. But then you combine all of them in equal parts, fill in a glass with ice, stir for like 20 seconds, and serve with a grapefruit garnish.
Oof.
We didn't have any grapefruit, and this is already like super tart and pretty bitter, so
yeah.
I'm glad we didn't have it.
I could see how your mind would go to grapefruit when drinking this, but it does not need grapefruit.
I would be adding sugar to it if that were.
Yeah. And then it is kind of a grapefruity color, though. It's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice color. It is not for the faint of heart.
No.
It is.
Like, I literally can't feel my tongue when I sip it.
I could hear Colin gagging from the other room after he took a drink.
It's not that bad.
It's just a lot.
It is a lot. And, like, I'm not really a whiskey drinker, so it's already a lot.
Mm-hmm. And mine doesn't have the whiskey.
Yeah, and Catherine's doesn't have the whiskey, but it's still just so bitter.
It's, yeah.
And, like, I love gin. I've said it on this podcast before. Like, if I'm making a cocktail for myself at home, it's probably going to have gin in it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, it's a, Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will talk about, this is, I don't know, I'd say this is a pretty fancy drink, right?
Yeah.
Our meal is about as down to earth as you can get.
Yeah, potatoes.
So, this week we made poutine, which was invented in Quebec around the 1950s. There are many claims as to who did it first, but it is a Montreal specialty. It is French fries covered in brown gravy and cheddar cheese curds, which are the white kind, not the yellow kind. And I have found that it's really hard to find cheese curds, and not every place has it. And so if you cannot find cheese curds, you are supposed to use full fat, low moisture mozzarella in chunks, not shredded. And that's the best substitute you can find. But to make a traditional real Montreal poutine, fries, gravy, cheese curds, that's it. If you add anything else, it goes into the category of disco fries,
party,
which are like loaded French fries here. So a bunch of hipster places in America have been adding like jalapenos and stuff, being like Southwestern poutine, and apparently those people are liars and those are just French fries. So
have you seen, was it you that sent me the article, and it's like people from around the world like being pissed about Americans?
Oh yeah, it's really interesting.
Poutine was definitely on there.
It was.
They're like, that is not poutine. Those are disco fries.
Yeah, people get really upset about them.
People using too much Vegemite on their toast.
Yeah.
So, I just popped into my head. On our first river cruise, we were on there with some Aussies, and they brought Vegemite. And so one morning for breakfast, they were like, we brought this so people could try it. And we're like, okay, how do we eat it? They're like, very, very thin layer on toast. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it was my dad or myself. Yeah, river cruises, man, they get you. It was also like 5 years ago, but started putting on kind of thick, like a thin jam, kind of thin, but not like
scraping
it. And they're like, no, like that, you are going to hurt yourself if you eat it like that.
Yeah,
it's gonna be like this drink.
Yeah,
bitter.
It's just so salty too.
Yeah, and they're like, no, like this, and like.
Does it taste like those seaweed chips that you had?
I mean, not like seaweed, but it's salty and bitter.
I don't know. And then I don't...
It's enjoyable in very small amounts.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Like this drink.
Like, it's not my go-to for breakfast, sure, but I have tried it before.
I might like it better just because, like, for breakfast, just because I can't do sweet things for breakfast. Like, I can't do sweet things aside from coffee before, like, 9 or 10 a.m.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's certainly not sweet. Mm-hmm. Well, and most other countries have savory breakfast. Sweet breakfast is a very American thing. Like our lunch is kind of more breakfast. Like in most European cities, it's like cold cuts and rolls for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And then in the afternoon, it's like a sweet pastry or something like that versus us where it's a sweet pastry for breakfast and then the opposite. But yeah, poutine. In Japan, I ate miso soup and white rice and these little sausages for breakfast that are kind of like hot doggy, but they're like tiny. And they just call them chorizo.
Ooh, I love chorizo.
It's not chorizo, though.
Okay.
It's a Japanese sausage, but I think the translation is lost to sausage and they go right to chorizo.
Gotcha.
But it's not chorizo. Not spicy at all. It's very savory, very salty, like a lot of Japanese food.
Yeah.
Delicious. And rolled omelets. Mm. They do eggs for breakfast, but they're like, you take your chopsticks and you get them like really thin and you roll them into like little spirals.
That's cute.
Yeah. Yummy. Yeah. So that's my Japanese breakfast for Montreal.
Poutine.
Delicious,
but
though.
Also cheese curds. Are so delicious.
Yeah.
I also just really like cheese.
They better squeak on your teeth.
Yep.
Or they're not right.
Sure.
They're not curdy enough.
Nope.
All right, Brie. What about some history?
We're going to try because it's been a minute since I've even looked at this.
Yeah.
I feel that.
We didn't record last week because of my wedding. And Carrie bought a house.
Yep. It's been insanity.
Yeah, shit. So it looks like I have a quote to start.
Ooh.
I'll have the source in the blog, but I'm not entirely sure where it came from at the moment.
Sure.
I mean, did you hear me not quote, like, reference my quote that I had? It's fine.
I didn't even notice.
I didn't either.
I had like the full-on quote of like their mission statement of like what they wanted this cocktail to be.
Oh.
I have no idea where it came from, but it's gonna be in the blog.
Yeah. Okay. So Montreal is a blend of pleasant contradictions, a theater of war and heartbreak. The metropolis is also a place where peace treaties were signed. Mm-hmm. It is French, British, Indigenous, New Canadian, and all of these at once. In a Montreal with resilient traditions lives a centripetal force that attracts novelty with its light. It is also centrifugal as a preferred point of departure for courageous people and innovations of every kind. Thousands of pieces form its historical patchwork quilt. And I was like, oh, that's pretty.
That's cute.
I can't hear centrifugal without thinking of the country song.
I wouldn't know it.
What?
I don't even know which one you're talking about.
Swing your partner round and around.
Yeah.
End of the night, it's going down.
I'm yelling timber.
That's That's not country.
It's the closest thing I have.
It's Shania Twain, but obviously you know I can't.
How would I not remember? I love
it. The way you love me. It's, yes. I'm feeling like this. Yeah. It's centrifugal. Guys, I knew it. Shania Twain's not country. She's her own category. Right? Pop queen.
Someone is calling me.
This kiss, this kiss.
Hello?
Is it just someone breathing?
No.
Who is he calling with?
This is also with the Democratic Party. Is this Carrie? No. Yes, it was, but don't fucking talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. You've been texting me daily.
I know.
Stop it. I already know who I'm voting for. You don't get to know who I'm voting for. If you listen to this fucking podcast, you should know who I'm voting for.
Yeah. Listen to our podcast, buddy.
Yeah.
You'd like us.
So am I leaving that bit in the podcast?
You can.
Okay. So we were talking about this earlier, guys. It was the whole thing.
And that's why we drink the numb solution. It's orange, just like our president.
Ooh. And you can tell he just got a spray tan because he's glowing.
This is Halloween.
He also, you know, activates my gag reflex.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we were talking earlier and I literally almost gagged. Like, vomit started coming up my esophagus and it was gross.
Felt
that
like...
mental image just popped back into my head. And
yeah, it was real unfortunate. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Okay, so Montreal is located in the province of Quebec on the St. Lawrence River. The name Montreal came from Mons Realis in Latin, Mount Royal. There's also another source that said it came from the French translation, but the one referencing the Latin translation just seemed more reputable, so
yeah, that's very
if I'm wrong, sorry, but whatever. Yeah. Also, always go with the Latin. So, Montreal's history goes back to 2000 BC, the end of the Laurentian Archaic people and beginning of the early woodland period. So, with the earliest human presence being that of the ancestors of Quebec's indigenous peoples, who were hunters and gatherers. So, the first European didn't come in until around 1535 with Jacques Cartier, French cartographer and explorer, who, I know, it always makes me think of burlesque when I say Cartier. Cartier. You're saying it in a breathy voice.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss on the hand, maybe transcontinental.
But diamonds.
That was so beautiful. I know. You gotta swing them.
Oh, yeah. I don't have. Okay. I don't have anything big enough to.
Lorena Bobbitt.
There's nothing up. Also, this hammer.
Swing your partner round and round.
I'm yelling timber. Full circle.
What she did. Over her head. Okay.
She said, if you want it, go find it in the grass.
I swear I have asthma. I just don't know.
Okay, so Cartier was a French cartographer and explorer who, after leaving what we now know as the Montreal area, went upstream to what is now the village of Quebec and kidnapped the chief of the St. Lawrence Iroquois.
Oh, great.
And nine of the tribe's people before taking them back with them to France in 1536, where most of them ended up dying.
Way of course they did.
Cartier.
He wasn't like, hey, you want to come see my country? He just, like, took them?
Oh, he took them.
Jeez.
That's what it said.
That makes sense, but, like, how do you do that?
Look at these foreign peoples. Let's introduce them to our country where they have no antibodies.
And our smallpox.
I think that's what it was, essentially, was like, they're a sideshow.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Like, look at the new discovery I made in Canada.
He's like,
I am not Canada. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The new world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look at these people from the new world.
And they're like, bro, this ain't the new world. We've been here for ages. Leave me alone.
Like, literally 2000 BC. Okay, so his exploration or discovery was followed about 7 decades later by Samuel de where's your last name? Champlain. I just said that. Hello, Mary.
What was that?
Like Lake Champlain?
Yep.
Champy? Chompy? What's his name? Champy, right? Champ?
Champ.
the American version of the Loch Ness Monster?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I was like, you guys deaf know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, because I brought it up in Seattle last year.
Yes.
Aw, him cute.
So he set up a trading post for his furs. And then 1642, Ville-Marie, the first real colony, was established. Montreal didn't become incorporated as a city until 1832. And prior to all that colonization and whatnot, a village of Indians known as the Ashlag lived there. And Montreal was actually supposed to be the epicenter of large-scale Christianization efforts to convert the local indigenous people, of course. Mm-hmm. But as you can imagine, they weren't having any of that forced conversion bullshit.
Nope.
So that those attempts started a bloodbath between the indigenous peoples and the colonists that lasted over 50 years.
That'll happen.
Yeah, and peace was finally achieved with the indigenous peoples of Canada at the turn of the 18th century. So the city grew by leaps and bounds in the 1800s during industrialization, and by the 1900s, the population had increased by over 100 times what it had been. In fact, around 1950, there were more than 1 million residents in Montreal. And it was the largest city in Canada until sometime in the 70s when Toronto took over. And the population of Metro Montreal in 2011 was almost 4 million. So think about how many people must be in Toronto if there were more than in Montreal. So there's an underground city.
There sure is. I looked that up and I looked at the school.
Yeah, so a series of interconnected tunnels beneath Montreal runs for over 20 miles. In the winter, over 500,000 people use the tunnels every single day, and they connect shopping malls, universities, museums, hotels, offices, incredible, banks, and 7 different metro stations. Montreal's sister city is actually Hiroshima.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. And there was a bunch of other information on stuff like that. It was really interesting. Cool. But my section is really short this week, by the way. I didn't mention that.
That's okay. My case is pretty horrific.
And I have two
My case has a tag along to another case, so I have two cases technically.
Okay, cool. It's good. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's home to the world famous Cirque du Soleil.
Woo!
Has a flag with 5 symbols. The cross represents Christian principles. The fleur de lis is for the French. The shamrock for the Irish. Yeah.
What?
My dog. The thistle is for the Scottish. My
sure.
People. And the Lancastrian rose for the English, all the first settlers of Montreal.
Aww.
And Catherine and I won a game of codenames over the weekend because history majors coming in clutch.
I said Henry VIII as my clue, and she got all five of the hints. And one was like lion, one was line, one was...
Actually, it would have applied to 6. You said 5, it would have applied to 6, but I got the other one on another clue. But yeah, it was pretty boss. Anyway, Montreal is a UNESCO city of design. Other cities like that are like Shanghai and Seoul and Berlin and Graz and Nagoya and Saint-Étienne, Buenos Aires, Shenzhen, stuff like that. There's no building in Montreal that can be taller than the cross on Mount Royal Mountain.
Ooh. Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the 5 largest French-speaking cities in the world. Paris is obviously first.
Yeah.
And about 67% of Montreal's population speaks French fluently.
So yeah, Annie's friends, they do. Yeah. Speak French fluently. It's their first language.
They have a vibrant summer festival scene. Mm-hmm. They have a jazz festival that starts the day after my birthday.
Fun.
And it's the biggest of its kind in the world, and we need to go. Because one, it's the day after my birthday, and 2, I fucking love jazz.
Yeah.
So you like jazz.
Well done.
B-movie.
They also have a fireworks festival, and...
I'm afraid of fireworks, but let's not go.
Oh, sad.
I'm down. Let's go.
I can watch from inside a window.
I was going to say, yeah, we can,
like, be
fair somehow.
Waving through a window.
Hold on. Thank you.
Same time. Okay. They have Just Waving. For Laughs in July. And... They have Igloo Fest, which is a huge, like, outdoor dance and music festival in January and February. And we also need to go to that because...
Let's go to that!
Igloo Fest, man!
I just hit the desk with my head. It's okay.
But I guess, like, thousands of people show up, and they're in, like, some crazy ass outfits. Like,
yes.
Festival, y'all. We gonna slut it up and freeze our tits off. Let's do this thing.
My tits won't freeze off. They have enough warmth.
Shut the fuck up. If you see what looks like pink marbles rolling around the ground, it's just my nipples.
Ew.
My aunt says that all the time, and I was like, perfect opportunity.
It freaks me out.
It's Aunt Connie that says it.
I would have thought it was Joni. When you said my aunt, I was like, Joni, I see you.
Nope, it's Connie.
Oh my gosh.
You'd have to meet them. It's even funnier because it's her.
Out of left field.
As the wedding taught me, my boobs have gotten bigger since quarantine.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
They were popping. Like, my mom was not very happy.
Is it popping?
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, my boobs were like coming out of the dress. My mom was looking at me like, Put them away, Carrie.
I don't know what to do with them.
I can't. I'm sorry.
Wish I had that problem. I'm pretty sure mine have gotten smaller. So here's the thing. The first place I gain weight is my ass. The last place is my tits. The first place I lose weight is my tits. And the last place I lose weight is my ass. So
I just don't lose weight, so.
I feel bad.
They also, when you said your mom was like, put them away, I just imagined her like, I don't remember what movie it was, but like coming up with the handkerchief and like shoving it in there to cover your tits.
She's done that.
Good God. Okay.
Yikes.
Laurent Amusement Park is the second largest in Canada. They have one of their 10 roller coasters, Le Monstre, is 131 feet high. It's a wooden double-track roller coaster.
Ooh.
And it's the world record holder for the highest double-track roller coaster in the world, and I want to go on it.
I love wooden roller coasters.
I don't do roller coasters because I black out.
Yeah, I do too.
Oh.
And it freaks me out.
Oh.
I black out every time I go, anytime I have any force applied on my head, I totally black out. But I love them.
Yeah, I did Judge Roy Scream and Superman at Six Flags, and both times I blacked out and it scared me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I black out on every peak.
Oh my God.
It scares the shit out of me.
That makes me so sad. I love
I love them too.
Titan, right?
I don't know.
I've
gone on all of them. There's one there that makes me so sick. I can't go backwards.
It's Mr. Freeze, and I fucking love Mr. Freeze.
No, I like going. I went on it, and then I threw up for like 4 days.
Yeah.
I just cannot handle it.
Yeah, because that one goes backwards. Yeah. Although, Batman might go backwards, too. Like, at some point, it goes forward, and then I think it goes backwards. But Mr. Freeze goes forward.
Yeah, well, that's why I like wooden roller coasters the most, because typically I don't black out on them. Just because they can't get the force.
Didn't the Giant like close down because they had to do like serious repairs on it?
Oh yeah, someone like died.
Yeah.
It was fun. I've been on it since.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been to Six Flags.
I only go on field trips
with my students.
I didn't go on that one. I had to substitute. So I didn't go.
Yeah, I've been on.
I wanted to go this summer and fucking Rona, man.
Yeah.
So, apparently, Machine Gun Molly was Montreal's famed female bank robber.
Ooh.
So, she was a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Gangster. Monica Proietti.
She's a savage.
she robbed over 20 different banks. She had some accomplices. Catherine's doing the savage dance now. She had about $100,000 that she amassed from her robbing. And she was said to bring her kids along for robberies.
Well, that's probably because she couldn't find a sitter.
It said, redefining, bring your kids to work.
Right? Like, that's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Right? Just for that.
It's a pretty good bit.
But yeah, there will be an external link on the blog for more information on that. Because who the fuck doesn't want to know more about Machine Gun Molly?
Yeah.
I'm going to do a whole episode on her.
Right? Like, can we do a boss-ass females episode?
Yes. It's not a place, but we'll figure it out.
It'll be a mini-sode.
Yeah, we'll figure
it'll
it out.
It'll be a compilation of places.
We could do heaven as our place and just use any dead people we want.
We do what we want.
Yeah, we'll I don't care.
It could be a mini-sode or whatever.
Yeah.
It could just be like a compilation
we'll have mini-sode of badass bitches.
Yes. Yeah.
Ass. Babs.
Yee.
Babs.
Babs,
well, I just think of my costume design teacher, Barbara.
Terrifying!
That's why I made that face. I was the only one who called her Babs. She'd be like, no one calls me Babs. Don't call me Babs. I'd be like, okay, Babs.
Your dog's like passed out my arm.
I'm telling you. That's what she's doing over here. Okay. So without Montreal, there may have been no New Orleans. Jean-Baptiste Lemoyne was born in Montreal in 1680. And he's the one who founded New Orleans in 1718.
Oh,
stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We're going to cover
that one. Stay tuned.
Wink, wink.
Yes.
Nudge, nudge. Booty bump.
Booty bump. Not usually how people end that, but okay.
I mean, that's how I usually end things.
I know. At the wedding, fuck.
My booty was everywhere.
I know, Carrie. You see the pictures on the dance floor, and it's like, Carrie.
I was dancing. Because I didn't really get to at my wedding. I took the opportunity to dance yours.
I was too sober. I tried so hard.
Lame.
I was happy. I was a nice little medium there.
Okay, so now on to the lore.
You didn't think so.
The CIA apparently conducted mind control experiments in Montreal.
Was it the, what is it, Artichoke? Project Artichoke?
Let's find out.
Is it Project Asparagus?
I don't think so. I didn't follow the external link, but that'll be on the blog as well. But they were involved in experiments at the Allen Memorial. At first I thought it said Alien Memorial, and I was like, I didn't know I included aliens in this. Catherine's gonna love it.
I love aliens.
The Allen Memorial Institute. But they don't know the extent of the CIA's involvement.
Ooh.
But apparently there's some pretty hard evidence that suggests that they did fund that research in the 60s.
Oh. I betcha it could be partnered with Project
Artichoke. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, so if you're expecting aliens when we do Kentucky, if we do a certain portion of Kentucky.
What are we going to do in Kentucky?
I have a lot in Kentucky. I mean, literally just ask my family and be like,
she said,
no stories.
I could do so much in Kentucky.
Catherine and I are like, Kentucky.
I'm sure there's murders there.
I can tell you.
I'm sure there's murders there.
We'll figure it out.
I know several.
Okay, well, I already know we're never going to Iowa because Catherine.
What am I going to make?
Corn.
Corn.
It's just a plate full of corn and dog food.
We'll have like 8 different types of corn.
Where I'm from. Shut up.
Nita will be happy.
Nita, you want...
What? Me?
Nita, you want corn?
She does. No, she wants the dog food.
No, she wants the corn. She's from Costa Rica, so she calls it maize, but she wants it.
We're cultured here.
Maize.
So there's a place in Lubbock called the Corn Maze, and they spell it M-A-I-Z-E.
Oh yeah, me too. I'm Pennsylvania though, so I can't even make fun of you for that one. The Mennonites and I would go to the corn maze.
It's a haunted corn maze every Halloween.
Yeah,
there's a really famous one outside of Lubbock that has like a theme every year.
Oh, we need to focus.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's 7:30 though.
Okay. There are some Inuit myths. One of the most famous one is a legend of a sea goddess.
Aww.
She has a bunch of different names: Sedna, Nulliayuk, Tallulululuk. Taluliuk, Talilayuk. Anyway, according to legend, it's a young girl who was thrown into the ocean, and she becomes like the
a badass bitch
keeper of all the sea mammals.
Aww.
She's a mermaid.
Yes.
So there's a legend of Lumiuk, Lumak, or Lumog, an abused blind boy who also found refuge in the sea, where he was able to regain his sight and obviously stop the abuse.
Aww.
There's a legend of Kiviuk, huge mythological figure, same as Sedna, kind of. He has to do with, like, the abundance of fish and absence of trees in the Arctic tundra. And there's the legend of Tiktaalik'taaq. It tells about a young hunter.
Of Tick-Tock on the clock, DJ. Blow them speakers up.
Who went home after
so much
he got pressure. Lost on an ice floe.
Aww.
So there are always like a bunch of supernatural creatures that
go
along
young
with the
too.
Myths.
Yeah.
Like Mahaha, which is a demon that like terrorizes the Arctic and tickles its victims to death.
No.
That's like a creepy uncle
thing. No, I hate that's so scary.
Also, I would pee.
That is so scary.
No, when I get tickled, I have to pee, and it's not like a little kid thing where like they're joking. Like I actually have to pee.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do we have? The Izhirot is a shapeshifter.
Ooh.
Becomes any Arctic animal at once, but it can't hide the red eyes. So that's how you like
recognize them. That's cool.
So every cat ever.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, I would imagine house cats are a domesticated form of a native Canadian demon. That makes a lot of sense.
There's also the Tagriaxu. They're shadow people. You don't usually see them, but you can hear them. The Kualupiluk.
What was that?
Fuck off. That's what that was. The Kalu, or also the Kalupalik. They're human-like creatures. They're scaly, and they take children and drag them into the sea.
Ooh.
Oh.
The Enupa Sugjuk, and they capture humans. They're giants, so they're like the Cyclops in Odyssey.
Okay.
In Odyssey. And then the Tuni, they're supposed to be like, quote-unquote, simple-minded, but they're super strong, and they're ancestors of the Inuit.
So you call it the Tuni?
Tuni.
It's like the Looney and the Tuni?
T-U-N-I-I-T.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm listening.
Yeah.
I'm listening. No, they're not Looney Tunes, Carrie.
No, the Looney and the Toonie are the $1 and $2 coins.
Oh, okay.
I'm not dumb.
I didn't say you were.
Y'all were looking at me like I was crazy.
I just thought you were being a smartass.
No, I was asking if they're...
I never assume you're dumb. I just assume you're being a smartass. Well, that's like this weekend,
Leslie.
I didn't know what I said. Oh, I said my drive mom. Safe. And they all, oh no, first, the hair thing. Leslie was getting her, had gotten her hair done, mostly done. And she was getting her makeup done. And I was like, Leslie, your makeup look, or your hair looks nice. And she's like, oh, thanks. And then she turns and like looks at me and she's like, were you being sarcastic? I was being sincere. And then Saturday night, they were leaving and I was like, drive safe. And everyone, like, dead ass stopped and turns around and looks at me. And I'm like, I'm fucking being genuine, you bitches! God!
We're not used to kindness from Bree.
My bitchiness is my love.
Not a lie. She was like, drive safe. My mom's like, what? Are you cursing us? What's happening?
There's also the Ghost of McTavish.
Oh my god, that's an awesome name for a ghost.
Oh my gosh.
So,
according... Isn't McTavish the name that Jamie uses in Outlander? McTavish?
I think, isn't it...
As his disguise?
Is it, or is it Ian's last name? Jenny's husband?
I think he ends up using that.
Maybe.
But I think in the very beginning...
He has a lot
McTavish.
Of fucking names.
Oh yeah.
He also uses MacDoob.
Yeah. Like,
he has a lot of fucking names. Anyway, back in the 1800s... Simon McTavish was said to be, his soul, was said to be seen tobogganing down the slopes of, I think, Mount Royal, which is...
Big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's almost like a volcano. And it wasn't just a, like, regular old toboggan or... It says, or cheap dollar store crazy carpet.
It is McTavish.
Yeah.
Jenny McTavish. Mm. And he was still a fugitive.
He had a lot of fugitive names. But he was said to be...
Sam Heughan, the actor, is single.
Hit me up, D-Eddy.
Hit me up.
Colin won't mind.
Zach won't mind.
I have no one to mind, so ayo.
You can mind him.
Colin would be like, wow, nice pool, honey. I'd be like, thanks, babe.
But he was tobogganing down Mount Royal on his own coffin.
Oh, that is incredible.
Right?
Oh my god. That is like the most Nightmare Before Christmas shit I ever heard.
So he
sledding down the hill in a coffin.
Yeah, at one point he had a castle on the top of Mount Royal that was demolished and they buried the mausoleum like way underground.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of years later, it says McGill students, I guess, broke into the mausoleum.
Me. It was me.
Say, tell me why I was like 6 years old trying to break into the mausoleum.
I would never break into a living person's home, but a dead person's home is fair game. They don't know.
I'm not going to steal anything.
I just want to see.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? So during at the wedding, it was like, so they played Mr. Brightside, and then it was like, am I more than you bargained for yet?
Got so emo.
And all of the emo kids were like, lay in the grass, lay in the mud, lay in. And we were screaming, and all the adults, I guess we're adults too.
The adults here are adults.
The real adults were all like, what? And we were all like, bring me my guy liner, let's go. Come on, man.
Oh, I'm pretty sure my parents were looking at me like, what?
I'm just sitting
there. We had like an emo circle going
we
on.
We did. We did a whole mosh pit.
Kind of like headbanging.
Yeah. Colin spilled beer on everyone. It was awesome. It was just like a real emo concert.
I was so sad when I got home and I saw that I ripped part of my sleeve.
Oh, no.
And rocked on too hard.
Great. Okay. So there's also the headless ghost of Mary Gallagher.
Yep.
Nope.
Maddie!
Like I said, I haven't looked at this in over a week, so I honestly don't know anything.
Maddie!
I think Mary Gallagher is good.
Okay.
I have a couple different ones.
It's short. It's like a paragraph.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, in June of 1879, Susan Kennedy and Mary Gallagher, both prostitutes, sorry, sex workers, were drinking in a bar in Griffintown with a John named Michael Flanagan. So
Michael Phalanges.
They apparently had a little menage a trois. And Susan became overcome with jealousy. Bum bum bum.
So he wasn't a John?
Isn't that usually how freeways work though?
Oh no, he was.
He was a John?
Yeah. What, one of them gets jealous?
Yeah.
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 So no surprise there.
That's why you don't shit where you eat and you make sure it's an outsider.
Yep.
But also, like, if you're prone to jealousy, maybe don't, because you can still get jealous, obvi, but whatever.
Yeah.
Just make sure it's a bitch you can boot. Like she did. In a drunken rage, she brutally hacked Mary Gallagher to death with a fucking axe and eventually decapitated her.
I also have a story for y'all later.
Okay. According to legend, every 7 years, like since the date of her murder, her ghost walks the streets of Griffinton, and she'll go to that her old address at the corner of Rue Murray and William, and she looks for her lost head.
Oh.
So now that building on William Street has been torn down for quite a while, but if you want to be like a ghosty hunter, oh, we missed it. It was set for my birthday of last year.
Well, damn.
7 years.
Bruh.
So in 6 years.
My birthday?
Yeah.
We're gonna go look for Mary Gallagher's head.
Girl, we got you. We are on the mission for your head, Mary. Don't you worry, girl. We're gonna find it for you.
Best birthday ever.
Jazz music and a headless body.
Okay, last one.
I mean, we can. Never mind.
I did that other head hunt too. That's what I was gonna say.
Yikes.
I like that head hunt.
Hey-o.
Ew.
Not you.
Hey guys, she's single.
But wear a shaft.
Me wear the shaft.
TM.
That's why it's head hunt.
What did you say, Catherine?
I said TM. I feel like I'm the guy on Parks and Rec. And this week on Thoughts for Your Thoughts. You know what I'm talking about? On Parks and Rec, I feel like him. I am this guy and I talk like this. We're going to play two jazz songs on top of one another. Did they do that one episode? She's like,
yeah. Yeah. I specifically remember that bit.
Uh-huh. And she's like, oh.
Okay, last one. So,
I think your dog wants my coffee.
Probably.
You like pumpkin?
She wanted my booze.
Granted, I've now drank both of my drinks.
I think that was giving me heartburn, and I've never had heartburn before. Yeah, it was pretty weird. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, Mount Royal may or may not be a dormant volcano.
Okay. Well, most mountains are.
They have evidence of minerals that only come from an ancient volcano. They say it's just a regular old mountain, though. And it's part of the Montorigian Hills. But if you've ever wondered...
The hills are alive with the sound of dormant magma.
Magma. Second time in a week I've gotten to make that joke.
Yeah, we sure did make that this weekend.
I missed it, I think.
We should have said magma.
But the name isn't from, like, any historical royalty or anything like that. It says tapping it on the shoulders with a sword and knighting or a modest hill. Nope, it's not that. But Le Mont Royal is actually mineral rich, and it was first discovered in Montreal called Montreuilite.
No.
That's nice.
So that's why it's called Mount Royal.
Cool. Or is that why it's called Montreuilite?
Well, that's not what they said. They said the Mount Royal was named because...
Chicken or the egg?
Good question. But also, at the beginning, remember when I said Mons Realis? And whenever I say Mons, I think of, like, vagina, like the Mons and...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, Mary, girl, we coming for you. Don't you worry. Don't lose your head, Mary. We're on our way. Too late.
6 years.
Yep, 6 years.
If we survive 2020.
Yep.
All right, so if we don't survive 2020, tell us what's going to happen to us, Carrie.
We're all going to die. It's fine.
We're going to be ghosts.
We are. And Montreal is like...
Transition. Boom.
Nice transition.
Thank you.
But yeah, Montreal is like... super haunted. The first two pages on Google were like ghost walks.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
Like, I had to go to page three.
Wow.
There are some pretty notable ghosts, but like just in general.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go on like 18 ghosts.
Spooky, spooky, spooky. Yes. It's spooky over here, spooky over there. Eat some poutine and then we're going to go get some spooks.
And drinks.
Not this one, though.
Apparently not this one. I like this one, but it's definitely a meal, like when you have to have with a meal.
Yeah.
Like something to break it up.
I think I would like it more, but it like dev ass maybe like popcorn or some shit.
We can stop this to go get you more ice.
No, it's fine.
It needs to be cold. Like it needs to be a cold drink.
It's still coldish.
But it's not cold enough. It's like your mom with her Chardonnay putting ice cubes in it.
Jesus, Leslie.
Leslie.
And her Chardy.
Okay. Do we need to get ice?
Continue. I'll just run and get ice.
Okay. So, up first, we have Dorchester Square. So, between 1832 and 1854, there was a really bad cholera outbreak in Montreal.
Yikes.
Not the cholera.
Not the cholera. And since they're...
just poop everywhere.
Yeah. But, obviously, a lot of people died.
Yeah.
Well,
they literally shit themselves to death. That's the thing about cholera. It's horrible.
Yeah. So it was not very sanitary. And there were different cemeteries for the different religions. And so the St. Antoine Cemetery was the Catholic cemetery. And it is massive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's smack dab in the middle of modern day Montreal.
Well, Catholicism was probably pretty popular in Montreal, right?
Yeah. It was pretty even split between...
okay.
Catholicism and Protestantism.
Okay.
But this specific cemetery happened to be smack dab in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, all that were buried were not necessarily deceased.
Yikes. Yeah, that's a thing.
And so they're believed to have been... this doesn't make sense. Oh, people thought that they were dead after they had been given a heavy dose of opium that sent them into a coma, so they buried them.
Sure.
Oh. Did they have the bells or the tubes?
No.
Damn.
Not yet. But also to add intensity to all of this, if a pregnant woman was dying, they would request a, quote, infant baptism ceremony to try to bless their unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
So basically a priest would cut open the woman to expose the fetus, sprinkle the holy water on the fetus, and then both mother and child would die.
Well, yeah!
Yeah.
Okay, but like, before people knew how dangerous that was, they... probably thought that they were doing the best thing that they could, because in Catholicism, unless you're baptized, you can't go to heaven.
Yeah. And so that's...
you can't be buried on consecrated ground.
So, like, Gracie was given her last rites in my mom's womb when Gracie wasn't supposed to make it.
Did they just, like, do the sign of the cross with the holy water?
They did it on the belly.
Yeah.
They didn't cut my mom open. The doctors did almost immediately afterwards, but... and then they saved her, but our priest was there with my mom, because my dad was out of town and I was at school with a migraine, and Annie was, I don't know, me and Annie not worried about something because she didn't pick up on those vibes quite yet.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so it was...
it's like a thing that still happens.
Yeah.
Only without the stabby, slicey part.
Yeah. It was a rough time. Let it cool down.
Carrie, I don't think the cooling is helping.
It did not.
I'm too much of a baby for this juice. It's so spicy.
It's bitter, not spicy.
Mommy, I don't like it.
It's like the babies when you give them a lemon. That's my face. That's
anyway, so more than 70,000 people were buried, most of them in mass graves.
Ah, yes.
London! Yeah, anyway, several years later,
chuck them in.
Workers on the site to widen the road were digging at the cemetery, where they discovered that coffins were hidden beneath the city. Some of these coffins had significant damage from the poor souls who were buried alive.
Can you imagine waking up all high on opium and being like, bruh, and then being like, bruh, I'm underground.
That's one of my biggest fears is, well, I'm claustrophobic as fuck, so like any small space, but like being buried alive, because I used to have nightmares when I was little about being buried alive.
I don't know. I feel like it would suck, but dying sucks. It's not the worst way to me.
But like they saw like the claw marks and everything, and it was just bad. But they began exhuming some of the bodies, but citizens didn't want to mess with the bodies and protested to have them stay. They were woke.
They were woke.
Unfortunately, some of the bodies that were dug up were simply dumped back into the pit. Ugh.
First of all, you don't disturb bodies, and if you do, burn and salt them, motherfuckers.
The only time you're allowed to dig up bodies is to move them somewhere else, but you should still have whichever religion they followed and family members there if possible. Or if you're looking up that one serial killer guy who they didn't want to dig up because he hated it and then they dug him up anyways. Yeah. Yeah. That you can dig him up all you want. That's hilarious.
But anyway, following...
burn and salt his bones so he can't haunt anybody.
Yep. But following them finding these bones, they were like, let's not mess with this and build a park on top of it.
And the ghosts are like, chill.
Yeah. So they decided to not build on top of the cemetery. Oh. And so now it's this park.
That's nice.
Yeah. Because obviously they didn't want to disturb the rest of the bodies.
How Canadian of them.
And they actually, I'll tie this in back later, have now honored the people who...
That's nice.
So yeah. Canadian. Lovely.
So the modern...
Dreamy Trudeau, man. He's such a good influence. Mm-hmm. Even if this wasn't that time.
Also, Schitt's Creek. Mm-hmm. Amazing influence.
Mm-hmm. The modern Dorchester Square started construction in 1872 and completed in 1892 alongside Place de Canada or... Place de Canada.
Place.
Which is a town square, and it's larger than Dorchester Square. But they're frequently combined. And combined, they take up about 2.1 hectares.
Hectares.
Uh-huh.
Because that's how they measure it in Costa Rica, too. Cool. It's like our version of acres, but it's, I think, it's sort of. But it's hectares.
I know, it's 5.1 actual acres. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't know about...
Carrie, something is moving inside my drink.
It's the alcohols mixing with the water.
They're freaking out.
It's the water.
The water says, no! No, demon, I repel you!
Anyway, they're roughly a city block each. So Dorchester Square was named to honor the founding of the Dominion of Canada in 1867. And if you look aerially, it looks like a union...
He said aerially, and I thought aerial.
I knew you were going to.
Bree, what's up with all your boob jokes tonight?
Have I made more than one?
Yes.
Oh, the nipple bit. Okay.
You haven't even had that much to drink.
I don't need... See, people always think I'm drunk when I say this shit or act this way. I'm not. I'm just me.
If you look from above, it looks like a Union Jack.
That's cute.
And together, they are a tranquil and beautiful reminder of the history of downtown Montreal.
Lovely.
Yeah. So the parks are Montreal's main tourist... Excuse me. Around the parks are Montreal's main tourist office, St. Catherine Street, and Mary Queen of the World Cathedral.
Also me. Two of my names. That's two for two.
Included them. You're
Catholic, you're welcome. Bitch, of Thank course. You. You have like five of them.
I know. I do have a
literally
lot
of five.
But
I have four.
Mary Queen of the... Mary Queen of the World Cathedral used to be the Montreal Catholic Cemetery from 1799 to 1854. So there's another little fun fact. But it's a beautiful park, Dorchester Square, tying that back in. Because I've been talking about both of them. It's fine. But locals will take strolls, eat their lunches there, And, like, it's just really pretty. Your bruise. Girl.
I have so many bruises. This is
singular?
My...
Shit.
Yeah, my
it's
leg's covered.
Everywhere.
And I also have a fire ant bite on my foot that is still so bad. Look at it.
Ooh.
It is bruised.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
He bit me so hard.
I scared myself with the bruise on my thigh.
I have a ton right now.
Yeah, I have bruises all over my legs. I'm like, I don't even know the fuck I did.
I think I ran into stuff.
Probably same.
I tripped over a singular chair and hit the corner of it so hard. All, it was like swole.
You can
softball size.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it hurts so bad. Okay.
Get this one. He's this big.
Ooh.
Right there.
Yeah. Anyway, the locals will take a stroll and eat lunches there throughout the day. There are four monuments in the park. There's the tribute to Sir Wilfrid Laurer, the Boer War Memorial, Lion of Belfort, and the statue of Robert Burns, the Scottish poet.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So in 2009, the monuments were refurbished and the park received some new furniture, some nice new benches. And it also received the only remnant reminder of the mass grave beneath your feet. 58 crosses that are laid in paving stones.
Aww.
Because it was during this renovation that they unearthed about 50 skeletons. I'm assuming 58.
Props.
They're like, let's just throw a couple extra in just in case.
Yeah. But they did relocate them to make sure that the park was
not haunted.
Secure. Yeah.
Secured.
But left the rest untouched. So the ghosties, obviously with...
Come to fall. It's Robert Burns.
Yeah. But given this rather horrific past that this park has, there are some ghosts.
Spooky.
Spooky. At night.
Outdoorsy visitors. Spooks.
I was going to say, we're going to go to the park at night.
Yeah. We're just going to like...
My God, with like a hot chocolate? How nice would that be? And just like maybe just like a nice hot chai latte. And we can just like walk around and be like, hey, ghost.
I'm so glad I found my people. No one else will do like creepy night.
Oh,
I'll
knit us all scarves.
Yes.
I'm happy.
I'll make us t-shirts.
Yeah.
No, I'll make us beanies. Can't wait for my cricket to get here.
Yes. At night, visitors can have uneasy feelings of nervousness or just feeling uncomfortable.
All the time.
Yeah, this is not normal.
That's not a ghost. That's just me in public places.
Yeah. But they will hear mumbling of prayers from unknown sources.
Don't like that.
Woohoo! Then, some visitors have heard screams of agony.
Oop.
Probably from those poor people who were buried alive on
lithium
comas.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. Orbs and strange mists can be seen drifting through the park alongside mysterious shadow figures.
Chicken spook legs!
A will-o'-wisp. I forgot about the chicken spook legs.
So there's one spot in the park where there are... Are you okay, baby?
It's a spook.
She's having a spook.
She sees them. She really does. She can't
see them. So does the cat.
Out.
Olive, my picture in my living room is haunted, and Olive will sit and stare at it for hours and, like, stare at the picture, like a big oil painting. And we moved it, and she moves where she stares, and she still stares at the picture.
Nita will just, like, randomly, like, look at a specific spot.
Ghost dog.
And, like, she can't see. But she'll look at a specific spot like she can, and she will start barking like mad. And I'm like, no, bitch, no, you're terrified.
That's when I go, come in, she looking at the picture. I'm scared.
Maya just wants food.
Yeah.
You're gonna give me food?
Yeah.
Oh, Mom!
Yeah, Maya does not care.
No, but we have a like ghost dog there, and I'm like.
Maybe the ghost dog will follow you.
He does in the kitchen.
No, but in the new house.
Oh, I'll take him. I'm going to have a little sound for my ghost dog.
Fido.
Anyway, there's one spot in the square that has a higher than average number of medical emergencies, like panic attacks, heart attacks, and strokes.
Yeah. Me. Cannot go to that spot. I will death die.
Yeah, I will have a panic attack, and Catherine will be too dead to talk me out of it this time.
Yeah, I'll have the heart attack, stroke, and panic attack. I'll have all three. I have a bad medical family history.
Hey, here for the panic attack and the stroke.
Yeah, I got all three.
And I'll be the one to call the emergency and be like, my friends are dying.
My joints are going to be so swollen.
You won't be able to run away.
I'll be like,
not that we run here, but.
No.
All right, so we have our second location now.
I didn't realize we were just getting to the second one.
Oh! So, it is Rue St. Paul or St. Paul Street. Rue St. Paul is one of Montreal's oldest streets, being paved with cobblestone.
Oh my god, I love a cobblestone.
But
Swan's ditches are slippery, though.
Remember in Chester?
Yeah. You ever worn heels on cobblestone, motherfuckers?
And then walk back very drunk?
Yep.
It's not easy.
But by, it was paved by François Doyer de Casson. And much of it is still cobblestone today.
Merci.
The one French word she knows.
François Doyer?
No.
Catherine.
Oh.
Merci.
Bonjour. Croissant.
Croissant.
I would like a croissant, please.
I said croissant.
Croissant. I'll feed this thing. Goodbye.
Yeah. So long, farewell. Avi, to say
goodbye.
She said bonjour. It's literally the goodbye song.
I thought it sounded wrong once I started thinking about it.
Bonjour. Hello. What's up? What's going on? This is Two Sound of Music.
What's good?
Well, did you see Catherine?
Hola.
Earlier, doing the little spirit song and dance.
Oh, yeah, I wrote.
I didn't get it fast enough, though.
Hola, bonjour, konnichiwa, ni hao.
Ni hao, kind man.
Shalom, 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 shalom. Hello. Aloha.
What other languages do I know? I've gone through a lot of them.
Ciao.
Ciao.
That covers pretty much French, Spanish, and Italian, so covering some bases there.
Yeah. And I did German. Hallo.
Hallo.
Well, stay tuned for more elementary school languages and The Sound of Music.
Okay, so the street was named after Paul de Commodet de Maisonneuve. Who moved to the area in 1650 and is known as one of the founders of Montreal. The street only spans about 2 kilometers, or about 1 mile, but it's quite a popular street.
By the ghosties?
By lots of peoples.
And the ghosts?
Oh, there are some ghosties. We'll get there.
They like it. It's popping.
There are several well-known landmarks along this short street. Marquis Bonsecours, sure, was built in 1847 and served as Montreal's city hall and primary marketplace. It literally means marketplace.
I love a good market.
Right? I love markets.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go.
My favorite market I've ever been to is in Belfast.
Mm.
St. George's Market. Homegirl made me a hot chocolate. She literally had a block of chocolate. She went chisel, 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 and then poured hot milk on it and said, here you go. And I said,
dude, in Italy, they had to pour me hot milk. They said, you want a cup of hot chocolate? So they literally melted me a cup of chocolate. And we're like, here, you weird-ass American. And I was like,
they're like, no wonder you're all fat.
I know, right?
Okay.
Anyway, so the marketplace closed in the 60s, but it reopened in the 1990s, and it's not just a marketplace.
I love market.
Yeah. So then there's the Margaret Bourg... Oh my gosh, I'm going to butcher this.
Mercado.
Borges Museum?
Sure. Hamburger.
And the Notre Dame de Bon Secours Chapel, and they are in the same address. The museum celebrates the city's first teacher, a 33-year-old Catholic woman who taught the children and adults of Montreal reading, writing, and pioneer skills. And the chapel has a miniature wooden boat, series of miniature boats hanging, so it's known as the Montreal Sailors Church.
Oh, what's her name?
I didn't have it.
Probably Catherine Mary.
Probably.
Catholic.
No, like, I'm serious, probably.
I know,
yeah. Maybe Catholic. Mary Catherine. You go, Mary Catherine, Catherine Mary.
Anyway, there's, like, cute little B&Bs, historic restaurants, art galleries, performance spaces.
It's our place.
Oh, my God, like, yes. B&Bs.
Did you miss my little French name?
I heard it, but I don't know what it means.
Carol? Two puppets?
Yeah, did not. Why would I know
that? He's like, God, Catherine, get my fucking level.
I don't know what puppet means. I knew do.
As well as
Pinocchio.
Yeah. Some shoppers. Okay, so this website was super specific about this, and it made me giggle. And Catherine's looking like a horrifying little puppet.
I've got no strings to hold me down. I hate that movie.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. Thank you.
Pinocchio's horrifying.
Yeah. Anyway, so there was a very, very specific source that said shops with some souvenirs like moose-shaped shot glasses and maple syrup everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also just maple syrup everywhere. So. Yeah.
Sure. It's Canada, eh? Bet you one of them says Canada, eh?
Hey-o.
Moose, I'd be like, Jared.
So, while everything on street level is grand and beautiful, apparently the real sight is the amazing detail in the roof lines and windows.
Aww.
In the 1950s,
I thought you were going to say something about a seedy underbelly, but this is much more pleasant.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're talking about trees like underbellies.
In the 1950s, the street had become pretty run down, and there were talks of tearing everything down.
Oh, no.
But fortunately for us, someone had the sense to keep the historic buildings.
Yay.
And by the 1980s, tourism revived Old Montreal and Rue St. Paul.
Dry
queen. I needed a burp.
Pardon.
As a way to market the history of the city. So they used Rue St. Paul for the history.
Yeah. Sure.
In 2008, there were plans to pedestrianize the street, but merchants were like, no. And so they were like, okay. Because in Canada, they listen to their people.
Hmm.
Crazy. But yeah, so it's perfect for a nice, like, evening stroll after dinner.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. And you might run into some ghosties!
Yay!
So there are
my kind of evening stroll.
Prominent ghosts. So Valier, this story was super vague, but Valier was framed by his neighbor and arrested in 1732 for an unknown reason.
Oh, scandal.
His neighbor just was like, he did this thing and framed him for some sort of crime.
Huh.
And so apparently his neighbor was just like conniving.
Maybe he made his neighbor a cuckold.
Maybe.
And he was salty about it.
Maybe so. But also, since this is 1732, he was guilty until proven innocent. And the prosecutor decided to torture Valier to try to coerce him into confessing.
Yay. Efficient.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Valier could not handle the torture and ended up hanging himself with his own chains.
Oh.
He still wanders St. Paul Street. With his chains.
Yeah.
Like Marley's ghost.
Yeah. So then we have Marie-Joseph Angelique, who was an African woman who was enslaved by a man living in Montreal in 1734, so just 2 years later. After learning that her, and I hate saying this, master, was going to sell her to an American slave trader, she allegedly started a fire to burn down his estate. Which, fair. Of course, during this time, fires didn't stay isolated.
No.
And so this fire burned 40 other estates.
Oh, shit.
Ooh.
Yeah. Big fire. Fortunately, no one died, though.
I mean, I could kind of understand her rage. I don't...
Yeah. I mean, American slave traders? Probably much worse than Canadian slave traders.
I mean, and there's no such thing as a good slave owner, master, whatever the hell you want to call.
Yeah.
Fuckers. That's what I want to call them.
Yeah. But a lot of damage was done to these 40 estates. A prosecutor was hired to torture a confession from Marie, and he got one. To punish her, she was made to wear a sign around her neck saying incendiary, or arsonist in French, and walk through the streets by torchlight in a white chemise. What makes this worse is that the sign was made of the wood from her master's estate.
What is this, Game of Thrones?
Yeah. And that was just the sick torture before he... hung her and burned her on a wooden post.
Sure.
Yeah. So she's seen on St. Paul Street in the area where they scattered her ashes, still wearing her white chemise and the sign around her neck.
Hmm.
There's a weird overlap with these.
Do they like hang out sometimes?
They have the same prosecutor and were convicted through torture and coercion.
I was going to say, I mean, surprise.
I hope they haunt him.
Yeah. They probably did. But they were both hung, either by choice or actual execution. They didn't actually know each other in life, but they are linked through their prosecutor.
And one sounds like a scumbag.
Yeah, asshole. But it was also his job, but still.
Yeah, but two innocent people, you shouldn't torture. Fun fact, everyone. Torturing and attacking people is not part of the judicial system that we have in place.
Crazy, right? Hey, arrest shouldn't lead to murder. Just saying. Anyway, our final ghost doesn't have a name. In fact, it's also more than just a single person. It's a phantom carriage with horses and its driver.
Nay!
We're gonna find it.
Would you just fucking
Yeah, I was the ghost horse.
You're the thestral.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck was that?
It's my thestral noise. That was good. The camera heard it. I said,
The camera heard it?
There's so much what the fuck happening right now. Yep.
Anyway, so.
I'm a ghost horse. That's so hard to understand, Brie.
Okay. What makes it spooky is that they still use carriages to.
She's making the sound of her hooves. Oh, God.
I'm so close to being finished. I literally need like a sentence and a half.
I'm just adding mood sounds. Keep going.
Mood sounds. These are the mood sounds I want in my life. Exactly like that.
Beautiful. All right. So they still use carriages in Montreal to give these ghost tours. But some people will try to get into this carriage and then they turn around and it disappears.
That is my dream.
Like a New York taxi.
That too. It's a little less simple though. So yeah,
awesome.
Some of the ghosties of Montreal.
Wow.
Well, I made homemade fall bread and homemade blackberry jam. So we're going to go grab a slice of that bad boy and then we'll be back.
And I'll probably drink their drinks because
yeah,
pussies and can't finish their drinks.
Nope. I'm stuck.
In Harper.
Just made me sad. So, my case is the murder of Justin Lin or June Lin. Mm. Jun, I think. Jun. So, this is really dark. I am going to give a warning that involves sexual assault, murder, cannibalism, pedophilia, dismemberment, animal cruelty, posting videos of the murders online. And also, yes, and then my side case also has to do with a sibling abusing another sibling. So there's a lot going on. So just my little warning. There is a Netflix documentary called Don't Fuck with Cats that is based off of one aspect of this case. So Justin is our victim here, along with at least two known kittens. But yeah, so Justin, he was an international student. He was actually from Wuhan in China, and he was studying at Concordia in Montreal. He was studying computer engineering, I think. And so he was murdered in 2012. So this is really recent.
I think I have heard of this.
You have. It's an absolute, it's insanity. So he was murdered by Luca Rocco Magnotta. He is not Italian. Stop trying to be Italian. We don't want you. His real name was Eric Clinton Kirk Newman. Mm-hmm. And he had a very interesting life up to there. He murdered Lynn, Justin. And he mailed his hands and feet to different elementary schools.
Jesus.
And to two different political office buildings. One to the conservatives, one to the liberals. And then to elementary schools. He posted the video of the murder,
like
the dismember, the act
okay.
of the murder,
so it's like a snuff-ish kind of deal.
The dismemberment and then the necrophilia. He posted it.
So it was after the fact, gotcha.
And Interpol obviously immediately was like, "This is real. This is not fake." He was caught in June, so a couple months later in Berlin. And he was literally sitting on an internet cafe reading articles about himself in Berlin. And so that's how they caught him. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, that is how you catch them. They will be in their own crime scene. Like,
so 2014, he was convicted of first degree murder. Animal rights activists had been going after him for years. So this was a win for lots of people. So background. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot about Justin, who is the actual victim in this case.
Mm-hmm.
He worked part-time at a convenience store. He was in the Griffintown area apartment with his roommate, and he was just studying like a ton of other college students, especially international college students who were making their way in a new country to learn about a new culture and to get a degree. So, super sad. Luca. So, he's from Ontario, He has a ton of different names that he went by: Angel, Justin, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. So he was a sex.
Oh, wait, the fucking Jimmys. Sorry, yeah, well, if we have any Jimmys.
Well, and the fact that he went by so many aliases. Mm-hmm. Like,
so
clearly trying to be a chameleon, blending in wherever he's going.
And he's alive. He's in prison right now.
Good.
Keep him in prison. He was a sex worker and like a working model. He did like a gay pinup magazine, but like an active working model. Like, he was making money and working as a model, but then he also was doing sex work. He has a ton of lesser, quote, crimes and first-degree murder with him.
Yeah.
He's in prison in Quebec. So, he was born, his parents, he was the oldest of three. His mom was, like, super obsessed with cleanliness, which we all know never bodes well for children.
Yeah.
Dad was diagnosed with, and, like, she murdered their pet run bunnies. When they weren't, like, she didn't want them because they were dirty, so she put them out in the snow to freeze.
Oh.
Dad was diagnosed with schizophrenia in 94. He left the family. So, little boy, Eric, at this point, moved in with his grandmother. He went to school. He started doing gay porn in 2003.
Okay.
I think he was 18.
Okay.
Like, I think he was legally working in porn.
Okay.
And then he appeared as a pinup model in 2005 in a gay pinup magazine. 2007, he went on a TV show, like a reality TV show.
Mm-hmm.
He got a ton of cosmetic surgeries and auditioned for another reality TV show about plastic surgeries. He was obsessed with becoming famous. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted to do. So he got a couple of counts for fraud by impersonating a woman to get credit cards. And so he was charged with those because he ran up a bunch of credit card debt by impersonating them. He changed his name to Luca Magnata in 2006. Declared bankruptcy, you know, kind of non-crimes that did not involve victims up to this point. So, he created a ton of different profiles on a bunch of different social media and discussion forums. Just wanted attention. One of them was that he claimed he was dating Carla Homolka, which is a name that you guys probably know. So, I'm going to go in this little rabbit hole of Carla real quick. So, Carla, she's a Canadian serial killer and rapist who, with her first husband, raped and killed at least three minors in 1990-92.
Yeah.
She went with it. Then one day her husband decided that he wanted to rape and murder her little sister.
Yeah.
And she went along with it. And they drugged her, like invited her over, drugged her. Both of them raped her. And then she threw up and drowned because they didn't get her help because they drugged her so much to rape her.
Yeah.
And it was ruled an accident until the rest of the family was like, absolutely not.
Good.
Yeah.
A lot of the family knew it was
up. Well, and then they discovered that there was other people. So she is in prison. She's only 50 years old now. So like,
let that bitch burn.
Yeah. She was only charged with manslaughter though, because apparently she claimed that she was so abused that that's why she went along with it.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah. And I know there are going to be people who have issues with me saying fuck you to that, and I stand by my
well,
fuck you.
Well, she scored a 5 out of 40 on the psychopathy checklist, and Bernardo scored a 35 out of 40. So some people are saying it's like a folie à deux kind of thing.
Yeah.
But regardless, you don't rape your own sister.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry.
Who would be okay with that?
You just don't. So that's them. He claimed that he was in a relationship with her to get more people, and obviously that's when you can start to tell he's about to get more dangerous, because he's like, oh, look, serial killer and rapist, she's in prison. That's my lady. So he claimed all this stuff was happening. That was all in discussion forums. He was creating a lot of these himself just because he wanted the attention. Mm-hmm. Homolka never said anything about this, and he later denied the claims that he planted part of them and said that people were cyber-stalking him. Usually, but I think he wasn't caught with anything illegal yet.
Oh, and so, at this point. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
And so he has at least 70 Facebook pages and 20 websites under different names with himself. So the murder. Basically, May 24th, 2012, Justin got a text message at 9. His boss became suspicious when he didn't show up for a shift the next day at the convenience store. Three of his friends went to his apartment on May 27th. They didn't find him. Mm-hmm. And then he was reported missing on May 29th. So, like, people were on top of it. Yeah. Like, his boss and his friends, because, like, a lot of time it's hard when you're in a new country. But, like, the people that saw him daily, like, were looking for him. Yeah. And for a 20-something-year-old kid being, you know, it was 5 days since they last saw him. But that's not that unusual.
Yeah, I was going to say, for that to be taken that seriously that quickly, that's good.
Yeah, that's a big deal for an adult, because that normally doesn't happen for an adult. So on May 25th, an 11-minute video titled One Lunatic, One Ice Pick, which the name's important because One Boy, Two Kittens is important, and we'll talk about that, was uploaded to, it's called bestgore.com, and it was a naked man tied to a bed frame being repeatedly stabbed with an ice pick and a kitchen knife. Then it was dismembered, and he had sex with the body. He cuts off pieces of the food, and the police said he later eats it in the video, but all of it has not been seen. Mm-hmm. He got of like
him.
Okay.
Him. Yeah. Well, and he feeds him to a dog and has like a dog chew on the body, like forces a dog to chew on him, which I think is also animal cruelty.
Yeah.
And he was like tied down and murdered, right? So there's this the song True Faith was playing in the background, and there was a Casablanca poster. So like this is a normal person just doing this casually in their home. Canadian authorities got a more extensive version of the video, cannibalism, all sorts of stuff. But videos promoting things turned up 10 days before the murder took place. So he, like, had decided he was going to do this. He's like, guess what? I'm going to stab someone.
So, like, super premeditated, and you cannot argue otherwise.
No.
Right.
Like, no. And so...
Yeah, no, like, stand on.
No.
An attorney from Montana tried to report the video to Toronto police, his local sheriff, and the FBI, but it was dismissed because people were like... People aren't going to murder someone on live, like, and post it on, like, what?
Have you never heard of a snuff film before?
But, like, those are mostly acting, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they're quite, they're not.
But this is, like, just, like, the regular rep. This is just, like, a horror movie.
Yeah, he's a fucking dumbass.
Yeah.
But that shit actually happens. Like, but, snuff films are real.
Yeah.
Best Gore videos also reported the video. So the people watching this were like, this is not a homemade horror film. Like, someone is getting murdered.
Oh, okay. So when you said that website, I thought it was, like, not just, like, horror films. I thought it was,
no,
like,
I
love the fucked up.
No. I literally think it's, like horror and gore films.
Oh, gotcha.
But I think it's, like, amateurs. And, like, because that's, like, a whole niche thing.
Yeah.
But if those people are, like, absolutely not, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And they confirmed it was authentic, identified Asian male as the same one whose body parts were sent to the different things. So now they have body parts that were mailed, and then they saw him and they're like, okay, this is the same person. So they know that he was murdered. They have the murder. They saw the murder, know exactly how he was murdered. They have his body parts now.
And they can death track the fucking IP address. Like, this guy is the worst.
Well, they get it. I meant they get him.
Yeah.
And so, but he wanted to be found. That was his whole thing.
Well, yeah.
I know. I'm just like,
yeah. And so, damn. May 29th, a package containing the leaflet was delivered to the national headquarters of the Conservative Party. The package was stained with blood and smelled bad, and it was marked with a red heart on the outside. That's what he put. He drew a red heart on the outside. The left hand was intercepted in Canadian Post Processing Facility. But that was addressed to the Liberal Party. So he sent it to both political parties and elementary schools. The janitor discovered the torso inside a suitcase and a garbage pile in an alley behind an apartment building. He first saw it on May 25th, so right afterwards. But it was so full, he couldn't throw away all the trash. It's like an apartment complex dumpster. And so he went back and he's like, whoa, what's that smell? And found the torso. And it wasn't picked up because there's so much trash. So that's how they found the torso. The torso was supposed to be discarded. He just wanted the hands and feet. So, they recover human remains, bloody clothes, papers identifying the suspect, and the objects used to murder him. Footage and surveillance camera inside the building showed a suspect bringing numerous garbage bags outside, and the images matched the suspect who was captured on video in the post office. So, like, they have tons of evidence on this guy.
Yeah.
They searched the apartment where he lived, but he moved in and paid the rent, but he left. But there was blood over everything. He didn't even clear up. And then in the closet, it's written, if you don't like the reflection, don't look in the mirror. I don't care. Was written in red ink on the inside of the closet. So he was disturbed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But like, disturbed and ineffective at his work, thankfully. I mean, it's horrible that Justin died, but it could have been... He could have kept going with how completely depraved he clearly was.
But he wanted that attention. Like, he wanted people to know who he was.
That's what his aim was different. He didn't want a body count. He just wanted it to be horrible. Yeah. So a note was found in the package that was sent saying 6 body parts had been distributed and that he would kill again. 3 other packages also contained notes, but their contents were undisclosed by police, who cited their concerns about possible copycat crimes. So he posted a bunch of stuff and the police haven't even disclosed it. So the package containing the right foot was delivered to St. George's School and another containing the right hand to False Creek Elementary School in British Columbia. And it was confirmed that both packages were sent from Montreal.
Do we know how soon after they were delivered they were found?
Pretty soon, because he was murdered on the 25th.
But I'm wondering if people saw it. Like, if the public saw it, if more than just one person discovered it.
The body parts?
Yeah.
I mean, they were sent to specific people.
Also, I feel like it had to have been soon, because, like, otherwise the post would have, like, been, like... this is something weird. It smells bad.
Well, they did catch, they caught some.
The one,
yeah.
Yeah, I know you said the one, but I was like, the others, like, they would have caught more probably if it had been too long.
Well, it was within a week. Two elementary schools.
Mm-hmm. Because he tried to think of what's the most horrific thing I can do. Yeah. Send a body part to little kids.
And then.
He just wanted the attention. It's all spectacle. That's why he sent it to both political parties.
Yeah.
It was not a political statement. Oh, he just wanted attention.
Yeah.
They found Justin's head at the edge of a small lake in a park. The police received an anonymous tip, which means I bet you it was him.
Oh, probably. Like, yeah. That's what I automatically
assumed. There's a head next to this lake. You should check it out.
So he was captured. Interpol was involved. Everyone was looking back. He booked a ticket from Montreal to Paris on May 25th, so right after he killed it. He used his own name, arrived in France. They tracked him all the way. He used a false name, and then they caught him in Berlin. China thought it was a racially motivated crime. I think that Justin was just a victim of opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't think it particularly mattered to him who he killed. Mm-hmm. I think he just wanted the attention. Mm-hmm. The 2012 Canadian Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, was happy that he was arrested, congratulated the police forces on their good work apprehending him. The interim Liberal Party leader, Bob Rae, said the Canadians should mourn the victim rather than in any way, shape, or form celebrate Magnata's notoriety.
Agreed.
Which is wonderful. Justin's family arrived at Airport Montreal. The Chinese Students and Scholars Association of Concordia established a fund to defray expenses incurred by his family while in Canada. An award was created in his honor, and they held a candlelight vigil. Okay, so... Magnata was named Canadian Newsmaker of the Year by the Canadian press, which caused a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
Which is gross.
They didn't think that through very well.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he wanted.
Yeah. So his video was, like, obviously horrible, right? But his video with the kittens, which he posted first, which is what the Netflix documentary starts with, and then it leads into the murder of a human... So there's several victims, but he put a vacuum cleaner hose up to the kittens' faces so they couldn't breathe and suffocated them on a video and posted them. And then he literally recorded himself murdering. So that's a lot of horrible people in that very small story.
Yeah.
But that is the murder of Justin. He's been cremated and he's still in Montreal. His body, his ashes are in Montreal. So it's rough, but
he's
thriving in jail. He like tried to get like a reality TV show in jail and stuff. He is absolutely horrible.
What a dickwad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was really sad.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And it's recent.
Yeah.
But we hope you enjoyed your tour of Montreal.
On that note.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Bye.
I have bread.
I have bread. Leaving it.
Leaving it.
Follow us on Instagram @DarkSideTourGuides and on Twitter @DarkSideGuides. Give us a like on Facebook at Dark Side Tour Guides. Visit the blog at darksidetourguide.wordpress.com or email us at darksidetourguides@gmail.com.